Over the past few weeks, we've been exploring our verse for the year, which is from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. And we've already read it, but I've got a reminder of it here. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And 2 weeks ago, Ed spoke on the first part of this verse, thinking about what it means to be oaks of righteousness. And he looked at three interesting facts about oak trees and how these relate to us as oaks of righteousness. Then last week, Graham preached on the second half of the verse about being a planting of the Lord. And if you missed either of these, they'll be on the church website soon. I'm not going to go into them any more than that. But I'm speaking today on the last part of this verse, which is looking at how we can be a display of God's splendor. I've had quite an interesting and new experience preparing this sermon, trying to think straight when you've had sleepless nights and when a baby's crying in the background whilst you're trying to write a sermon. I keep telling people that my experience of parenting so far is wonderfully challenging. I think that's a good way of describing it. I'm not sure if it changes as they get older, probably not from what some of you have told me. Just a couple of weeks after Megan was born, I woke up in the middle of the night to her crying, and Esther was trying to comfort her. And that feeling of frustration about the noise of a baby crying started to rise within me. And in the end, I sat up, looked at Megan, and all of a sudden, the feelings of frustration left me because of the love and amazement I had when I looked into her eyes and saw her face. I do wonder how long those feelings will continue. It's not quite the same now. But I was reminded of this experience as I began thinking about displaying the splendor of God. Esther and I were speaking recently about how hard it can be to even find time to pray or read the Bible when you're so tired and occupied with a little baby. But then we realized that having Megan has actually drawn us closer to God, and that at the moment in this phase of life, perhaps what God wants us to do is see him displayed through the face of this new little individual. And as we talked about this, we came up with various Bible passages. They just popped into our minds. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's knit us together in our mother's womb. See, I am doing a new thing. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Though she may forget, God will never forget you. Remembering this conversation as I prepared for this morning made me realize that recently the glory and splendor of God has been displayed most powerfully to me through the face and the actions of a tiny little baby who can't do very much apart from feed, sleep, and poo. But over the past 7 weeks, she's been the most powerful display of God's splendor and love and might and power to me and to Esther. This verse of being a display of God's splendor also reminded me of these tiles that... Come on, Hayley. It's quite heavy. I'll keep you there for about 15 minutes. Reminded me of these tiles that Esther and I, we keep them on our living room wall. And we bought these when we were in Turkey last year because we thought they were really beautiful and colorful. And for Christmas, Esther's parents took them away and had them framed for us. They told us how hard it was to choose the frame and the surround. They didn't want to distract from the beauty of the tiles by putting a colourful frame around it or a colourful surround, because a frame isn't meant to dominate the picture that's in the middle. It's meant to surround it, the background which is meant to display and enhance the beauty of the artwork and make it more visible. You can put it down for a second. I might get you back up in a minute. When we think about how we can display the splendor of God, I think this analogy of the picture frame is actually quite helpful. We are the frame through which the splendor and glory of God can be seen. And it might sound like a lot of pressure that we have to display God's splendor. It might make us think that we need to be living perfect lives, that we need to be some spectacular reflection of God. This may even lead us to be more religious than faithful, as if we need to hold to some kind of outward spiritual appearance. But let's consider this for a moment. If a baby can be such a powerful display of God's splendor, despite the fact they can do very little for themselves? Why do we need to do anything spectacular or be anything more than we are in order to display the splendor of God? We may think we need to be particularly great or powerful or beautiful or capable. But I believe God's message to us is to let his greatness, his power, his glory, and his splendor shine out from within us simply by being the people that he's created us to be. God is saying, you provide the frame and I'll do the rest. This picture isn't asking the frame to be as beautiful and as perfect as the picture inside it. In fact, it wants that frame to be its normal, plain self and to fulfill its small role of providing a surround. When we strive to be someone or something we're not, it's like we're decorating the frame. By doing that, we distract away from the splendor of God. Come on, back up, Hayley. And I was having to think about what it might look like and how we might decorate our frame to distract away from God. Do you want to hold that up? And so it could look a bit like this. Can you hold that on there? So you need to hold. That's that. Just don't drop it, because Esther will kill me. So I've got some words on there. Being fake, a gossip, arrogant, self-reliant, rude, jealous, controlling, two-faced, selfish, angry, spiteful. So those are some of the things that might distract us from displaying the glory of God. But if we take that one off. But I was thinking, actually, we focus on those things a lot in sermons, all of our sins, all the things we do that distract away from displaying God's splendor. But there are other things that can also distract. And it's some of the things that we tell ourselves, like, God can't use me, I'm not good enough. What do you say? I'm weak, I'm small, I'm ugly, I don't matter, I'm worthless, I'm not spiritual enough. What gifts do I have? No one loves me. These are some of the things that we might tell ourselves that distract away from displaying the splendor of God and distract away from the people that we've been created to be. Okay, you can put those down. Don't fall. We display the splendor of God when we live as the people that he has created us to be. If God's splendor can be seen through the face of a baby or an oak tree, as it says in this passage, or a blank picture frame, then why do we need to do anything spectacular or miraculous in order to display God's splendor in our lives? God wants us to come as we are and to allow his splendor to shine out of us in the various places in which we're planted. It doesn't mean that we won't do spectacular and miraculous things for God, but it's saying that he will do those things through us. Isaiah chapter 61 is one of the most, probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. Before our verse for the year, we have this bit that says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." And then we have our verse for the year that follows on from this, and it says, "And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." When we look at this passage, who does it say will be the oaks of righteousness planted to display the splendor of God? Not those who are perfect, not necessarily just the priests or the prophets. Isaiah says, "And they, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the prisoner, those who mourn and grieve, these are the people God will use to display his splendor." The message of this passage is that God longs to use every single one of us. He longs to use the most unlikely people, the most plain, normal, most insignificant people to reveal his splendor and display his glory. If God were to be framed himself, I think he wouldn't choose to surround himself with gold. He would be displayed in the most basic frame possible. just like that stable in which he was born. A frame which would be a massive contrast to the wonder and splendor of his glory. And this is the story all throughout Scripture. God calls and uses the most unlikely people to fulfill his purposes. Look at the disciples. You can't get much more plain and normal as a bunch of fishermen. Look at Paul, who persecuted Christians before God called him and used him. He was far from perfect. How does God display his splendor? He does so through the most ordinary people, living the most ordinary lives, but doing so in relationship with God, directed by him for his praise and his glory. And through him, we may do amazing and miraculous things. And so, living as the ordinary people that we are, what can we do to display God's splendor apart from just being ourselves? Well, this morning I'd like to give a bit of a reminder of our vision for 2019 as a church. We've presented a vision that is based around two elements, being present and being in partnership. And today I also want to add to that being prayerful as well. And I'd like to talk briefly around these three things, being present, being in partnership, and being prayerful. And I'm not going to talk about them for too long because following on from our vision day next week, we're going to have a three-week series based around these three things. But this morning, I want to think about how these can help us to display the splendor of God. So first of all, let's think about being present. In our vision for the year, we want to consider how Ruddington Baptist Church can be more present in the heart of our community here in Ruddington. We believe that we are already a display of God's splendor, but think we can be more visible in our display. As I was preparing for today, the verse that I read at the start of the service came to my mind from Isaiah chapter 60, which comes in the chapter before, which says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light." And that really stood out to me as I read it, as another significant verse for our church, and a verse about being present. Arise, let your light shine. Don't hide away. I believe being more present as a church means three things. Firstly, it means being more visible. Do people know that we're here in Ruddington? Is our light hidden? Can those who are searching for God find God's people easily? This is what we want to consider, how we might be more present in the heart of the village. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing next week at our Vision Day. Secondly, being more present means building deeper relationships. We do this by being consistent, open, and willing to listen. Some of the deepest relationships I've built with people in the community here in Ruddington over the past couple of years have been through the well-being cafe that we have on a Wednesday afternoon. This has come through us being present, sitting together, talking and sharing week after week after week. In that time, everyone who has attended, I would say, has had their ups and their downs, and we've supported each other through these things. It's like it's doing life together. And then thirdly, being present means offering more space, more time and space to those around us. I believe there are way more people that we can reach in this village simply by being more present and more visible. I believe that offering more time and space at a visible location is really important. Again, this is something that we're going to think a bit more about next week. But I don't just want to think about us as a collective. How about us as individuals? How present are we as individuals? We've asked whether we as a church are visible in Ruddington. How about you as an individual? Is your faith visible to your friends, your family, your neighbours, and your colleagues? We've talked about building relationships by offering more time and space to people. Are you investing in relationships, willingly offering others time and space to talk and to see Christ shining through you? And when you have conversations with people, how present are you really in those conversations? A bad habit I think many of us have today is checking our phones too often during a conversation. I'm guilty of this. How often do we even sit in a meeting, in the cafe, in the pub, with our phone just sat on the table, even if we don't intend to look at it? Just our phone buzzing could be a distraction from the conversation that we're having with someone. Rather than being present in that conversation, we're then thinking, oh, I wonder who is messaging me. I wonder who that is who was calling me. Another reason we may not be fully present in a conversation might be because our mind is on our own issues and our own concerns. I have a friend who's a counsellor, and we've talked about how both me as a minister and him as a counsellor have people that we regularly meet up with and talk to, whether that's a mentor or a friend, to discuss our own struggles, because it's important to do that. Otherwise, we can't fully be present for the people who we're meant to be caring for. Having time set aside to meet with a friend or a mentor to discuss your own agenda or issues or whatever that might be means that you can then be more fully present when you need to be for other people. And so we can display the splendour of God by being more present, physically in terms of time and space, spiritually by actively living and talking about our faith, and emotionally by being fully present in conversation with other people. And I believe that doing these things will help us to display the splendour of God. And then secondly, being in partnership is another way of displaying the splendour of God and another part of our vision for this year. In order to be more present in the heart of Ruddington, we're partnering and hoping to partner more with individuals, groups and other organisations. We have some incredible opportunities to display the splendour of God through working in partnership with other people. I've recently met with someone from the NHS, the mental health services, from an organisation called Live Well in Rushcliffe. Had a meeting recently with the Honeycomb that we told you about at the church meeting. And Gareth and the team who've been set up to meet with the parish council have started conversations with them about how we might work with them, particularly looking at the youth centre on the village green. And in all of these meetings, the impression I get is that people are eager to work with us, to partner with us as the church. This is down in part to there being so much need in our society and resources being few for the NHS and local councils. And so they need community groups like us to step up. And this provides us with great opportunities for preaching good news to the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, setting the oppressed free, doing the very things that this passage talks about in order to display God's splendour. But partnering with others can be challenging, and it involves us making an active choice to do that. Working with other groups and those who don't share the same beliefs as us can be frustrating at times. But the call of Jesus is to go out into the world and to make disciples. This involves building relationships with people we've never met, who don't share our beliefs, who may have complex needs and may need our care and support. Again, thinking individually as well as collectively, every day we make decisions as individuals about who we're going to partner with. Who are you going to work with? Who are your friends? Who are you going to talk to at work or in your lunch break? Who will you avoid in the supermarket? I'm sure we've all done that at some point. What voluntary work are we going to do? How much time are we willing to give? The challenge for today, I think, is to extend the boundaries of our relationships so that more people can see the splendour of God displayed through us. How can we possibly share the light of Christ with others when our only friends are Christians? That might be the case for some of us. Even here within RBC, do you have a friendship group within the church, the people that you normally talk to and socialise with over coffee? Perhaps you have a small group that's a bit of a comfort zone for you, and either you're reluctant to build deeper relationships with someone outside that group, or perhaps scared to let someone else in to those relationships for one reason or another. Extend the boundaries of your relationships inside and outside the church. Partner, befriend, and work with people who you may not have before or you wouldn't normally think of doing so. Make an effort to include the stranger, the lonely, and those who are on the fringes. That's what Jesus sought to do as he built God's kingdom. Give more people the opportunity of seeing the splendor of God shining through you. We need to be aware that being a display of God's splendor is about building relationships, partnering and working with not just our friends and the people we find easy, but it's about welcoming those outside, caring for those who have the greatest need, and showing radical hospitality. This is what it's like to reflect the very nature of Jesus himself. And these are some of the things, again, that we're going to be considering at our Vision Day next week. And then finally, we display the splendor of God by being prayerful. So we've been present, we've been in partnership by being prayerful. And I've preached quite a number of sermons over the past couple of years about prayer. And so I'm going to keep this point quite short for today. How can God's splendor shine through us unless we're living in a relationship with him? How can we live in a relationship with God without spending regular time in prayer? If we want to display any of the characteristics of God, whether that is God's splendor, God's love, God's compassion, God's majesty, God's power, then we need to make having a relationship with him a priority. We are only able to share with others what we first received ourselves. If you want to know more about prayer, and you haven't already got that from some of the other sermons I've preached, I'd happily talk some more with you and share some resources with you for help to help you to have a regular rhythm of prayer in your life. And so we display the splendor of God by living as the people he has created us to be. We don't need to do anything miraculous, spectacular, or be anything other than we are for God to shine through us. But there are things we can do more effectively to be a display of God's splendor. We can be more present in our relationships with other people, more visibly living out and sharing our faith, being more active in listening to and caring for other people. We can be in partnership, making decisions to work with and befriend not just those that we find it easy to get along with, but those who we find more challenging. We need to extend the boundaries of our relationships so that more people may see God's splendor displayed through us. And finally, we must adopt regular rhythms of prayer to help us stay connected with God so that we can know his heart and display his character. And so I want to finish with the words I started the service with from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. That's a challenge to display the splendor of God.